Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett on the Tuesday broadcast. So glad that you're joining us today. What a great day God has given for us to serve Him today, to love one another today. Thank you so much for listening today. We're going to finish up the message that we started yesterday, and I've entitled the message, Grace for the Runner, on the series that we're doing at our church, Grace for Disgraced. And so I want to encourage you today that if you feel like your life is not going the way that you want it to go, it's because you're living under the law. The law is never intended to set us free. The law is pointing out to give us these protections, but it's also pointed out and given us this understanding of why we do what we do. The law indicates that we are lawbreakers and that we need salvation. So we spent a little time yesterday talking about the verse that we have for this year, Titus 2, 11 and 12, and this is what it says, "For the grace of God has appeared." Don't you love that? I'm so glad that God's grace has appeared, and it's appeared to everyone. You see, we were living a life exposed to evil, and the wages of sin is death. We were born in sin. We also sin because we are sinners. We commit sinful acts. But it's our nature to live lives of sin. We've been exposed to evil. However, we've also been exposed to God's grace. The grace of God has appeared to everyone, and it offers salvation to all people. The offer is given to everybody. I'm so glad that salvation is available to everybody. It says that it is in that person of Jesus Christ that salvation is offered to everyone. Luke put it this way in Acts chapter 4. He says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Now we see God's grace has appeared to everyone. We see that salvation is made available to everyone. We also see that grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Grace teaches us to overcome godliness. So when we say yes to Jesus, we say no to everything else. You see, before you came to Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. Sin had separated you from God. But God quickened us, or God, that's an old King James word, but God made us alive, brought us together with Him, and forgave us of our sins. Now, that salvation is not standing alone. Salvation has something else with it. It has that ability to teach us to say no to ungodliness, and it does something else. It also delivers us from worldly passions, gives us that ability to overcome worldly passions. We see that sin no longer will be our master because we're not under law, but under grace. We see that grace also gives us the ability to live a life that is self-controlled, a life that is not flying off the handle, a life that is not driven by emotions, but driven by the Spirit. We see that grace drives us to live godly lives, even in this present age. Now, I'm so glad that Paul wrote that to Titus, and he says, this grace that you have is going to allow you to live a godly life in this present age. So don't think that we're living in such a bad time that we cannot overcome this present age. We can. When we think about how we overcome this present age, the first step is to repent. Repent of our sins. And as we repent of our sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross and that He rose again 3 days later, when that act of repentance switches up to our belief in Christ, then we have been given the ability to live in this present age and overcome ungodliness. I told you yesterday, there's two underlining bits of very important theology. Number one is that God knows us better than we know ourselves. I've discovered something about myself, and I think you will be discovering this about yourself as well, is that sometimes I am dishonest with myself. As a matter of fact, the one that I lie the most to is not you. The one that I lie most to is me. I lie most about myself and my feelings and the way I process things. So we must understand that God knows us even better than we know ourselves, because our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God can know it, and we can know bits of it, but not all of it. Here's the second thing. God knows how to reach us at just the right moment. That's why we talked yesterday about that prodigal. And that prodigal in the pigsty must come to his senses. Somebody once told me this, and I think it's so true. If you get into a pig pen and wrestle a pig, you might beat the pig, but you come out smelling like the pig pen. That is so true, isn't it? You can beat that pig sometimes, but you're going to come out smelling like a pig pen. God brings about the rescuing at just the right moment. Now, how does God do this? Let's transition now and look at the life of Jonah. Let's kind of backtrack and go to Jonah chapter number 1 and look at verses 4 and 5. We see that the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose against that ship that it threatened to break it all up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. So we see that God is gracious in that he sends storms to get our attention. And not only our attention, but the attention of those who are around us. That's how gracious God is. Now I'm going to share an illustration that you might think is a little bit unusual. Those of you who have been listening to this radio broadcast for a while know that I have a son that has autism. And let's say that this son that is very low functioning, nonverbal, has a seizure disorder, has some other health issues. Let's say that he breaks away from it and he's running. And he's running toward the highway. Our church is on Battlefield Boulevard, and traffic is kind of heavy on South Battlefield Boulevard. And let's say he is running toward Battlefield Boulevard, and he's kind of in his own little world, and his, you know, he doesn't put things together like, you know, if I run into traffic, I'm going to get hit. He doesn't always put those things together. And I see him, and he's too far away from me for me to catch up to him in time. Not only do I see him running, but I also see this large dump truck barreling down Battlefield Boulevard. The speed limit, 55 miles an hour in front of the church. And in my mind, I can see what's about to happen. My son is running toward Battlefield Boulevard, unaware of this huge dump truck that is barreling down the highway, and I can't get to him quick enough. So I pick up a rock, and I hurl it at him. And as I hurl that rock at him, it hits him in the back of the head, and all of a sudden, he stops in his tracks. And instead of running toward Battlefield Boulevard, he comes back, and he starts running toward me. And he wants to teach me a lesson because he's figured I threw that rock at him. And he gets mad at me and he begins to lose his cool with me. What he doesn't realize is that although I did hit him in the head with a rock, I saved his life. So many times God does that to us. We're thinking that God has hit me in the head with a rock and we miss the fact that God is actually saving us from disaster. I tell the guys at Indian Creek Correctional Center, you ought to thank God that you're incarcerated, because some of you, it took you getting incarcerated for God to get your attention. You were going down that path of destruction. And had it not for been your incarceration, you would have been separated from God because you have been killed. But God spared you. God brings this storm into the life of Jonah, and this storm comes to grab his attention. God in his graciousness brings this storm. Where's the second thing? God also allows others to suffer because of our sin. You know, on that ship that Jonah was, as Jonah's running, going in the opposite direction, he's sailing in the opposite direction, everybody on board is endangered by Jonah. You know, we never sin alone. I mean, we can be alone when we sin, but our sin is never alone. Our sin always impacts other people. Maybe you're listening to me today and said, man, my life has been devastated because of the sin of somebody else. Maybe your husband left you. Maybe your wife has left you. Maybe somebody wrongly accused you of something you didn't do and you lost your job. Maybe you've been in an accident that was not your fault and now you're suffering because of somebody else's sin or somebody else's carelessness. That's how sin is. The wages of sin always brings brokenness and brings separation. When we sin, we don't sin alone. We affect the lives of other people. Well, here's something else about God's grace. He always sends someone to challenge us. As we get back to the story of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, and Jonah's down in the bottom of that boat in the middle of the storm, and the captain goes down and wakes him up. The captain says, well, Jonah, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us, and we will not perish. You think about God sending people into our lives. Listen, if somebody comes to you who loves you, who cares deeply for you, and they've got to share something that is wrong in your life? Would you be gracious and listen to that person, hear that person out, realizing, you know, it takes a lot of courage to talk to somebody? You know, most of us by nature are not driven for confrontation or driven by confrontation. Most of us rather just go along to get along. We don't want to make waves. We want everything to go well. So if somebody comes to you and challenges you, realizing that God may be behind that. It may be God's gracious way of saying, it's time to wake up. You know why this is so important? Because one day, you're going to meet an old man or an old woman someday down the road. It might be 10 years, 30 years, 50 years from now. And that person is going to be waiting for you. You'll be catching up with him or her very soon. What kind of old man are you going to meet? He may be a seasoned, a soft, gracious man. He may be a gentleman who's grown old graciously, surrounded by a host of friends, friends who call him blessed because of what his life has meant to them. Or he may be bitter, disillusioned, dried up, an old buzzard without any good word for anyone, soured and friendless and alone. You see, that old man or that old woman one day is going to be you. You are going to be the composite of everything you do, say, and think today and tomorrow. You see, our mind is being molded today for what's going to happen to us tomorrow. Every day and every way, you are becoming more and more like yourself. Amazing, but true. You're beginning to look more and more like yourself, think more like yourself, and talk more like yourself. You're becoming more yourself, more and more. Live only in terms of what you're getting out of life, and the old man gets smaller and drier and harder and crabbier and more self-centered. Open your life to others. Think in terms of what you can give, what you can contribute to life. And that old man grows larger and softer and kinder and gentler. You see, everybody has no control of growing older, but we do control the attitude that we have as we get older. I don't want to be an old bitter man. I want to be an old gracious man. If somebody comes alongside you and challenges you, would you see that as a messenger of grace and to take heed to what they say to you? Well, here's one other thing I want to say about this situation that Jonah finds himself in, and that is forgiveness is always, always available. That's right. You're never too far gone for God to say, I'm done with you. I'm over you. I'm going to give up on you. I'm going to wash my hands on you. God's forgiveness is always available to you. Jonah saw that in the belly of the whale. Next week, we're going to talk about Jonah and the prayer that he offered up as in that belly of that whale. I hope you join us next Monday as we pick up that story of Jonah and his mighty prayer to God coming from the belly of that whale. Well, I want to transition just a little bit today as we have the remaining moments of the broadcast. I want to talk to you for the next several minutes over the matter of wisdom. And why do I need wisdom? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4, 7, and 8 that we should get wisdom. As a matter of fact, it says getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom and she will make you bright. Oh, I want you to know that wisdom is something that is not based upon intellect. I read a sad story of what happened way back in July of 2006. There was a world-famous geneticist. His name was William French Anderson. He was convicted of child molestation. And as he was at the press conference, his attorney said this, "Nothing about having 176 IQ means that you have good judgment." You see, when we think about wisdom, wisdom is more than just knowledge. So many people are filled with knowledge, and what can be very deceptive in this day and age is that we have knowledge doubling every year. Knowledge is constantly being increased, but that doesn't mean wisdom is being increased. As we think about wisdom, one of my favorite persons to read about was a guy by the name of Yogi Berra. He was a former New York Yankees baseball player. He demonstrated a lot of great sayings, and as a matter of fact, because of his great sayings, he has 8 entries in Bartlett's Familiar Quotations, and these were given when he addressed Montclair State University. Here are some Yogi Berraisms, we'll call them. First, never give up because it ain't over till it's over. Second, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Here's the third thing he said. Don't always follow the crowd. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Fourth, stay alert. You can observe a lot just by watching. Fifth, and last, remember that whatever you do in life, 90% of it is half mental. I thought that was pretty good. Good sayings by Yogi Berra. Well, let's talk about wisdom for the few minutes that we have left today. Well, first of all, wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. It involves knowing God's word and knowing how to apply it, know when to apply it. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see, we don't have to work on seeing things from our perspective. That comes naturally. Seeing things from God's perspective only comes supernaturally. And this is kind of different, right? Because we're thinking, if I will study worldly philosophy, if I will study the great ancients of yesterday, I'll become a more wise person. You know, we love catching celebrities spouting out almost sometimes biblically sounding wisdom. Not too long ago, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal where it interviewed Arnold. And a reporter that Schwarzenegger is saying he's officially back. The interview asked Arnold Schwarzenegger, your first movie, Hercules in New York, was bad, but it was a great showcase for your charisma, right? And this is what Schwarzenegger responded. His answer focused on his weakness. He says, as I think about the weakness that I have, I've turned them into strengths, he said. The very things that they said at the beginning of my career would make it impossible for me to be successful in acting were the very things that became my assets. He said, number one, your name cannot be pronounced, and therefore you will have to change your name. And he said, number two, they said that your accent would never work. Number three, it was very clear that your body was way too big. These are three things that all became big assets. Never listen to the naysayers. Now I have the most imitated accent. In fact, today, it's actually a trademark. You see, that's how God rolls in our lives. He loves to take the things in our lives that we think are weaknesses, and then he turns them into strengths. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I become strong. Let's think about what wisdom does for us. We are told in Proverbs chapter 3 that wisdom is more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing could you want to have that will compare to it. Wisdom offers you here long life, wealth, honor. It can make your life pleasant. It can lead you safely through it. Those who become wise are happy. So we learn from this short passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, there are six benefits to wisdom. Benefit number one is that I get long life. I was reading an insurance agency report one time, and it said that people who join a church and attend every week live on average 6.7 years longer than the rest of the population. So if you want to live longer than everybody else, join a church. And don't just join a church, attend it every single week. It will extend your life. Here's the second benefit of wisdom, wealth and prosperity. How would you like to have God as your financial advisor? We're going to look at five foundations of financial freedom, and they're all found here in the book of Proverbs. If we have time in the broadcast today, if not, we'll do it tomorrow. Here's the third thing that wisdom gives us, honor. How does wisdom bring honor? You see, you don't put your foot in your mouth as often if you're a wise person, and you know the right thing to do in every situation. Now, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 35. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Those who heed the instructions that I give will be wise. They do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at my doorpost. He who finds me, finds wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. As we think about God giving us his grace, Timothy Keller in his book, Making Sense of God, gives an invitation to the skeptical. He says, you're in a large sailboat out on the water and it's moving swiftly. It is because the sailor is honoring the boat's design. If she tries to take it into water too shallow for it, the boat will be ruined. The sailor experiences the freedom of speed sailing only when she limits her boat to the proper depth of water and faces the wind at the proper angle. In the same way, human beings thrive in certain environments and break down in others. Unless you honor the God-given limits of your physical nature, you will never know the freedom of health. Unless you honor the God-given limits of human relationships, you will never know how to have freedom of love and social peace. If you actually lived any way you wanted, never aligning your choices with these physical and social realities, you would quickly die, and you would die alone. You are then not free to do whatever you choose. You get the best freedoms only if you are willing to submit your choices to various realities if you honor your own desire. Somebody put it this way. If I plant honesty, I will reap trust. If I plant goodness, I will reap friendship. If I plant humility, I will reap greatness. If I plant perseverance, I will develop and reap contentment. If I plant consideration, I will reap unbelievable perspective. If I plant hard work, I will reap success. If I plant forgiveness, I will reap reconciliation. So be careful what you plant, because what you plant now will determine what you reap later. Well, there's a couple of things that wisdom gives us. Number four, wisdom gives us peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. We also see that wisdom gives us safety and gives us security. In Proverbs 28:26, it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And lastly, we learn from this passage of Scripture that we are given happiness. Those who are wise are the happiest individuals on the planet. The more wisdom I have, the happier I will be. Why? Because wisdom teaches me to make choices based upon what produces the most long-lasting happiness. Well, let's talk about how we can get wisdom. And we might have to finish this up tomorrow, but let's get started anyway with how we can get wisdom. First of all, we get wisdom by reading and studying God's word. Proverbs 1:2 says that, and Solomon's writing these words, and he's writing these proverbs to teach people how to live, how to act in every circumstance. Proverbs 1:3 says, they can teach you how to live intelligently. So God has given us his word so that he can reveal to us his plan for our salvation, but also so he can reveal to us the plan he has on how we can best live our lives. You see, you get insights on life from one of two perspectives, either the word or the world, the word of God or the world. Now, how many of you believe everything you watch on television or everything you see on the internet? How many of you believe everything that you read in the newspaper or on the radio? Or how about the Bible? Well, if we all claim to believe everything we read in the Bible, why do we spend more time listening to and reading what we don't believe in rather than reading what we do believe in? It makes no sense. I was listening to a guy one time who says, you know, I discovered I spent about 3.5 hours a day on social media and on my phone. He said, if I would take that same amount of time that I spent on my phone and I spent reading the Bible, I could read the Bible through 10 times in a year. I want to encourage you, be in God's word. There's an old expression that says, when in doubt, read the instructions. It helps a lot. So if you want to be wise, you've got to get into the book, into the word of God. Number two, you got to apply it and you got to reapply God's word in your life, constantly applying it to your life. Well, I want to encourage you today, as you think about the foolish decisions that you have made in your life, and you think about the wise decisions that you have made in your life, the wise decisions were based upon God's word, where you took it, you read it, you understood it, and you actually applied it to your life. and then he reapplied it. We're told in Proverbs chapter 7, never forget what I tell you to do. Do what I say and you will live. Be careful to follow in it. That's where we find wisdom, being careful to follow in it. Well, I hope you join us tomorrow as we continue on and we'll finish up how we can get this wisdom that God wants us to have in our lives. I hope you join us tomorrow, same time, same radio station. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. So Lord, give us a great night tonight. Fill us with your spirit, fill us with your word, fill us with your wisdom. And until we meet again, be with us in Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.